Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Our days on earth are limited. This becomes increasingly apparent as one gets older. Today we will hear about what David felt when he confronted this reality. Please open your Bible to Psalm 38, verse 17, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this psalm and begins his study of Psalm 39.
David says in verse 17, "For I am ready to halt. I'm ready to collapse. My sorrow is continually before me." But then he says, "I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." David does not merely admit his sin. He's troubled by it. And sooner or later, you and I will always be sorry for our sin, because sin always brings sorrow. You see, because sin first and foremost dishonors and offends God. And what do we do? What do we do? The enemy just will accuse us, condemn us, make us feel filthy, tell us God doesn't want to have anything to do with us. Why did God send his son? For the very reason that David is writing Psalm 38. You believe that? You see, there's a theology that it's kind of like sin light. You know, like sour cream light. All sin is bad. All sin is wicked. All sin is evil. And the thing of it is that we may all confess tonight we're sinners, but do we really, really want to get to the core of how sinful we are? How wretched we are? How depraved we are? Don't go there. Please don't go there. And here is David now. He's doing what John tells us to do. If we confess our sin, what is confessing? Confessing is agreeing with God, whatever he calls sin. Call it what it is. Whatever it is. Call it what God calls it. If it's pride, call it pride. Don't say, "Well, Lord, I slipped up." We're not talking about walking on ice. We're talking about confessing to the living God. Now but here's the thing. This is deliverance. I'm confessing. That's it. That's it. And confession of sin cleanses us from the shame and the filth of sin. David here is experiencing godly sorrow that works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. In Psalm 32, David said, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid," as if we could. You see, that's an indication of how wicked we are. Well, if the lights are off and it's dark and no one else sees, then God doesn't see. He knows. But here's the thing. Here's the amazing thing about Calvary. The one who knows us best loves us most. Doesn't that blow you away? If just the people in this room, if we were to piece together outwardly the worst moments in our life, we could have a movie and call Raymond the Monster. Lou the Monster. Mike the Monster, because that's what sin is. It's a monster, isn't it? Not once in 35 years has anybody ever said, "You know, Pastor Ray, a few times you've said, would you want your thought life or your attitudes to be recorded and there would be an audio and a video for everyone to see next Sunday?" You know why? I'll tell you why. That's why God sent his son. For that very reason. And so here's David. He's confessing his sin. In one of his podcasts, Tim Keller wrote, quote, "If we only confess but do not also find the sin repellent for how it grieves and dishonors God and destroys other, the sin will retain its power over us." You see, the mark of a true believer is not if they will fall, but when. We all do, to different degrees, different increments, some far more measurable. But we all do. But when you're a true believer, when you have been regenerated, you're going to turn back to God. You're not going to make excuses for what you've done. You're going to call it what it is, and there's going to be a hatred for that sin, and you're going to be doing battle with that. You see, because now that we're born again, our new nature, well, let me put it this way, your nature will determine your appetite. You can have the appetite of a sheep or the appetite of a pig. You ever seen that, okay, this is, you guys need a little, you need a little light break here. You ever seen during the sports events, they have the Geico commercial, the raccoons eating the garbage? You ever see that? I love that commercial. I love those three raccoons. I go, man, that. And if when you're not born again, you'll just eat garbage. You'll love garbage. You'll feed on garbage. And you will delight in it. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I can never fall or fail, but it's just not there anymore. That you can't stand it. You don't want it. You say, God, I am a monster. Forgive me. A child of God like David may slip and fall into sin, but they're never going to stay there. You know why? Because your new nature craves for righteousness and holiness. But here's David. He says, my enemies are lively, they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. David, I can't imagine what he feels like. Can you imagine if David lived today with social media? By golly, what would they say about him on Facebook, Twitter, and whatever other devices they have? They also that render evil for good are my adversaries. Notice, because I follow the thing that good is. David is not only suffering from guilt, but from bodily pain, unjust accusations. Similar to what Job was suffering from his three friends. But, you know, in verses 19 and 20, this thought came to me. When a godly person, a follower of Jesus, sins. Boy, how the unsaved, how the wicked seize that opportunity to attack them. But notice, not because they hate sin, but because they hate godliness. And then David says, forsake me not, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. David reminds us of a truth that we so often ignore or forget, or the enemy doesn't want us to remember when we're in the pits. Without God's help, we perish. We need his help. We can't be our own savior. And without the realization of our sinfulness, we'll never sense the need for a savior. Psalm 39. One more. To the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Now, Jeduthun was one of David's musicians, not magicians, musicians, yeah. That's right. Anybody that's once, Pastor Ray just says that Jeduthun was a magician. That'll be on Facebook tomorrow, right? Yeah. Now, what would you call these musicians, these leaders? We would call them today what? We would call them today worship leaders, like tonight. Jordan led us in worship. That would be like Jeduthun or Asaph. They were temple musicians. They were called into that area of ministry, and they led people. And some people's ministry, can you imagine this, was just to sing unto God day and night. What do you do for a job? Oh, I just praise God all day long.
Imagine that.
What do? I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy One. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you do now? I'm at work. Hardly. 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 Psalm 39. Oh boy. It's a psalm that is really reminds us of something that you're not as aware of until you reach certain ages, like the brevity of life. I was reading in Psalms that God promises us three score years plus 10. Well, he's given me one plus that, so I'm on borrowed time right now. And I can tell you, there's a lot more of my life in the rear view mirror on earth than in ahead of me. Solomon in Ecclesiastes wrote that all of life under the sun, apart from faith in God, is nothing. This psalm is the cry of David, who is suddenly, we don't know how old he is, but he's suddenly feeling the futility and the shortness of his own time on earth. It's so true that the fall in Genesis chapter 3 introduced us to life as it is now, where all creation is groaning and travailing. How many times have you thought, you know, when I get to heaven, I'd like to have a conversation with God about a few things? Now, I haven't arrived, but the older that I get, I realize that's not a conversation I'm going to get in. But this much I do. I want to find Adam and say, what were you thinking? That's what I want. I want to go up to Adam and go, Adam, what were you thinking, dude? Do you realize? That was the Adam bomb right there. That's it. And look what happened. And we're born into this world, groaning and travailing. You know, today was a beautiful day, sunny day. You know, sunny day. And I was thinking. And this is creation groaning. This is creation travailing. I'm talking to my wife today on the phone. She goes, oh, sweetie, it's so beautiful down here. The ocean is so beautiful. And it is, but this is sinful. This is corrupted version. Wait till we step into the uncorrupted, the sinless version of heaven and earth. Oh, hallelujah. That's where we're headed. Man. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause, and Christ is the cure. And it is true. I used to hear my grandparents say, boy, is time going by so fast? I go, what are you talking about? Now I'm saying it, my grandkids are telling me that. You know, but how often do you and I wrap ourselves in the false security blankets of IRAs or physical health, or there's a whole other plethora of counterfeit gods, things that we look to for security. Sad to say, there are so many people that spend so much of their time and emphasis securing their life on earth instead of setting their affection on Jesus Christ. They're thinking about where they will spend eternity. So David in verse 1 of chapter 39 says, I said, I will heed or guard my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. Now, there are those that believe that this psalm has in view the occasion that gave rise to David's confession in the previous psalm. But notice here how much Scripture talks about the mouth, the tongue, words, so much. And David is concerned about what he might say before the wicked. He says, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a muzzle. God, help us. Help us, please. Again, the Reformation Study Bible has a note that says, emotional outbursts do not honor God. The believer needs to keep a careful watch of his tongue, for it can be the instrument of many sins. Particularly when under pressure, we must do everything to ensure that what we say is ordered by grace, pleasing to God, and edifying to others. Wouldn't it be great to put that on bumper stickers, a refrigerator, the rearview mirror? Well, you can't put it on the rearview mirror, you'll get a ticket. Lord, what I say be ordered by grace, be pleasing to you, and edify others. How many times have you said something and then you've apologized for what you've said? Right? Yeah, we are, right, Chuck? Praise God, we're getting better. And you know, and you do, Lord willing, you get wisdom the older you live on this planet. And so I realize when I'm getting riled up and I want to say something, if it's here at church, I'll just go to another room. And I just, or if it's at home, I'll just go to another room. Because I have sat with people that have confessed to me time and time again, you know, I wish I never said it. Well, why did you? And then some people want to draw it out of you. I'm not going to say something that I know that I'm going to regret. So I'm not going to say anything at all. But that works for me. So you can just continue exploding. And doesn't help. Words are powerful. You know that. Every one of us here tonight have had people speak words to us that have been so encouraging and so uplifting and so helpful, and there's been people that have spoken words to us that probably the negative words have impacted us more than the positive ones. And I don't even want to give you a specimen of what some of those words were, because I don't want you to go there, and I don't need to go there. Verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spoke I with my tongue. And in other words, whatever the situation was, David says, the more I thought, the more it burned. He just wanted to get it out. I need to get it out. I need to get it out. I'm going to get it out. I'm going to text Lou right now. Lou! What did David do? Who did he spew it out to? Lord. There you go. Jesus isn't going to put it on Facebook. Jesus isn't going to take a microphone in heaven and says, excuse me, planet Earth. Pastor Ray just said something to me. You won't believe it. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, life is short no matter how long we live. And David recognizes his own frailty. And Scripture constantly is confronting us with these questions. What is the purpose of life? That's what man is trying to figure out. What is it that gives meaning to existence? Now, science, thank God for the good things that we benefit from science, but science doesn't have an answer to those questions. Education doesn't have the answer to those questions. Atheism and secularism certainly doesn't have the answer to those questions. But there is an answer. There is an answer. In him, Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the answer. Sometimes people ask me, they have all of these doubts that they're bombarded with doubting scripture and all of these things. And, well, what about this? And what about that? Or how can you be a Christian? I'm a Christian because of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm a Christian. He is my reason. What's your reason for living? Right? Why are you here? What's your purpose in life? You see, the gospel, again, the gospel is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. It helps us to see things in perspective. It helps us to see beyond this brief time of mortality. My youngest grandson the other night was over, and we're having a good time together, and he says, Papa, he wanted to get real serious, Papa, don't go to India. They have coronavirus over there. You know, of course, he's my little Anthony. And I says, Anthony, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of being out of the will of God. And I know it's the will of God that I go. Life is short. And every one of us has to have a purpose for living. What is it? You know, Jesus told the story of a man that just built barns and barns and bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns. And now, where am I going to spend my next million? And Jesus says, you fool, tonight you're stepping into eternity. Now, we have to work. We have to be wise stewards. We have to live on this planet. God didn't save us to be lazy. But what are we here for? Why are we here for? What is our ultimate purpose? It's to live for God and to bring Him glory. Look at verse 5. Behold, you have made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before you. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That word vanity means a puff of wind. You know, when you go outside in the winter and you go, there I go. That's it. And then he says, Selah, stop. Think about that. Now, that a handbreadth was considered to be the width of the four fingers on one hand, or roughly 4 inches. In other words, our life is so short, isn't it? So short. A vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Now, notice, as I read verse 5, David declares here that every man at his best state is vanity. The prophet Isaiah says our righteousness, the best that we can do, is a filthy rag. You know what that means? We need a savior. The best of us is still us. At my best, I'm vain. My righteousness is a filthy rag. And there are people that actually think they're going to stand before God apart from Christ. You're going to look at them and go, oh, boy, you're so cute. You're so handsome. I'm just going to let you into my kingdom. No way. No way. But just think of the love of God for us. How much, this just us tonight, you and me in this room, how much grace and mercy and patience of God do we use on an hourly basis? Because He loves us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.